NHSAU Mobile on Statewide 1, Grand Rapids.
KAMWN.
Good morning. Just making the final approach here to work, so I was talking to Dakota over on Analog, and he said something about going to DMR, so I figured I'd put one final shout out. What's Ben doing today?
I'm getting ready to pull into the shop here and set up the powwow this morning to do another site update for the state.
Day in the life. There you go. Well, I'm just pulling up to the shop here. Looks like I'm the first one here. Yeah, it looks like I'm the first one here. Oh, wait, maybe not. Maybe not. All right. After yours, that'll be it if you.
Yeah, I'm not the first one here, at least not this morning. We got the one gal that's one of the owner's daughters and comes in early on Monday and does the cleaning and stuff like that. So, yeah, we'll be around and catch you out there somewhere. Have a good day at work. K8MWN.
Alpha Delta 8, Mike Papa, radio check.
Didn't quite get the call, but this is November 6, Whiskey Yankee. And your radio sounds volume about right, not too loud, and your audio is clear. N6WY is clear.
Thank you, David. Alpha Delta 8, Mike Papa.
Alpha 8, Whiskey Yankee, what's up, monitoring?
W8FU. I heard you on Statewide 1.
You hearing me over here?
Alpha 8, Whiskey Hotel, Dearborn Heights.
I'm hearing you on Statewide 1, Sean, if that's where you're at.
I was trying, so I thought I'd come here. So, at least I know. The hot spot's working and all that.
So, how are you doing all right in here? I'm over in Dearborn Heights. I would imagine in a few hours maybe get some thunder bumpers liven things up around here.
Oh, see, that's the problem. I was driving. I just realized I'm not in Mount Clemens directly. Oh, well, someone's with it. Yeah, it looks like it. Looking off to the west there, it looks pretty gray. I've heard that there's some stuff moving this way. So, I guess we'll see.
Okay, Sean. Yeah, the I was looking at the weather radar, and they do have some thunderstorm warnings over in Chicago right now. Pretty solid line of weather over there. So yeah. Who knows? You know, we've been pretty lucky so far this year. Although we did have one touchdown about a mile or so from the home QTH here, but. Fortunately, he didn't stay on the ground long, and the only thing that got damaged was some guy's shed.
Yeah, I remember that. That was it was quite close to the urban area here, down your way. So, interestingly, they've moved the tornado belt. Used to be down there, Kansas and Oklahoma, and it still is very much down there. But it's been increasingly migrating north and east, and now some of the worst weather is up in Minnesota and Illinois, which when I was younger, it was Kansas and Iowa and Oklahoma. And, like I said, now some of the worst stuff's quite a bit north of there. And they've included the southwest part of the state as part of the quote-unquote tornado belt now. So it's been migrating.
Well, Whiskey yourself already. Yeah, that's true. And but it's... Even as close as Washtenaw County and Hillsdale and Nunaway and Monroe counties, they've been getting their share of tornadoes. I know, I think I read somewhere, or saw somewhere where they said Michigan's already had like 27 or 28 tornadoes this year. Normally we average about 12. So, but this, you know, except for that, and most of those are on the west side. Over here in the southeastern, we got the weather was too cold for that.
Yeah, it's an interesting little pocket we're in here. Seems like the worst snow and the worst storms and everything seems to go north of us, south of us, east, west. But, well, I don't know about east, but west of us, south of us, north of us for sure. And, you know, we're just in a kind of a nifty little pocket for the worst stuff. I don't know if that's going to ever continue. I remember back in the, you know, if you look at historical data, and there were some monster tornadoes came through here in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, so not, I think all the buildup, you know, when you build up everything in the cities and all that, it somehow disrupts the vortex from get going or something, I don't know. Maybe it's just cause and effect. But, not, we had a lot in the 50s and 60s, and then it seemed to taper down quite a bit, and now things, seems like things are on the rise again. So, now what are you going to do? Still just about the best place on Earth as far as natural disasters and whatnot.
Well, yeah, see, my rig just went a little bit. Anyway, Alpha 8 Whiskey Hotel Friday. Yeah, I remember when we had some severe weather, and after the storms passed, they put out the warning. 10 minutes after the storms cleared, and we were done with it. Sounds like it's starting to rain out right now. Yeah, we could sure use the rain down here. They can use it in some of those other areas that haven't gotten rain much lately.
Yeah, we were just, I just switched radios, WNFU. I just switched over to my mobile. I was on an HD I was experimenting with on the hotspot. But anyhow, yeah, we were just joking about that at work. A couple of my younger guys, I said, are you guys in the, you know, we really need the rain? You know, have you moved into that yet? And my 30-something-year-old guy, he says, oh, yeah. He goes, I'm definitely in the, we sure needed the rain. I go, okay, I didn't know at what age you change into that guy.
I mean, like I said, you know, I'm a sky worn spotter, and one of the things he used to teach us in our classes is that there have been for every one of the 83 counties in Michigan, even in the Upper Peninsula, which you wouldn't think would normally get them. But problem is, you never figure out how they confirm it. I mean, normally it's not confirmed unless somebody sees it. I mean, you know, there are tornadoes that they had up there, and there's no real city anywhere in the vicinity, and so it's like the old question, if the tree falls in the forest and there's nobody to hear it, does it make a sound?
Well, I mean, of course, they can send somebody out afterwards and look at the debris field and everything, tell if it's straight line winds or there was rotation involved, so usually somebody goes out after, but yeah, if nobody's there to see it and nobody goes out afterwards to evaluate the damage, then all they can go by is the radar.
True. That's true. And so it's, you know, the radar's really gotten a lot better at detecting the stuff. I mean, you know, I was talking to the radar operators when I was in the Air Force, and they could, nowadays, stuff is, you know, the radar is so complicated and so accurate, they can tell if there's a tornado inside of a batch of other weather and tell by the rotation. I mean, it's kind of neat to watch that stuff. Like sometimes I watch the over-the-air weather channel and that's kind of neat that the things that they can detect on those the radar.
Due to my low fuel light just came on. I just transitioned over to this vehicle. I have no idea how frugal it is. Well, it's not frugal at all. How stingy, or I should say, when it's low, how dangerous it is. That's what the words I'm looking for. My places to get gas are few and far between, so. Now we've got to make a decision whether to double back, net back to work to fill up, or dare to make it home and back in the morning. Oh, well, I'm babbling.
Okay, Sean. Yeah, I've owned, over the span, I've owned like six different Beetles, Volkswagen Beetles. And the funny thing is, some of them, you just never knew as far as the gas gauge, how close it comes to being a terminal situation. I mean, it's, you know, there have been some Beetles that I had that you could actually take it on the other side of empty and almost down to the bottom of the mark there, and you still had gas. But there, I've had other Beetles that if you got it anywhere near empty, even close to the nuts, you better start looking for a gas station quick.
Yeah, well, this is a work vehicle. It's a it's an older, not excursion, expedition, and it's the long bed, so it's a beast. Now, it shows me, you know, up off, I'm not in the red zone yet. I don't know how I managed to ignore it to this point. I should be fine. But you say diesel Volkswagens. You remember the one, it's probably been 10 years ago now, but the TDI, and they had that stink about how they were fudging the numbers a little bit, and they had to change everybody's, it was a Jetta TDI, I think it was. God, I wanted one of those so bad before it got fixed.
About those, but I didn't have any diesels. I just had the regulars. And like I said, I had six different Beetles, and the last one I had was an automatic stick shift. In order to shift, you had to push down on the shift lever, so there were contacts at the base of the gear shift lever, and so when you push down on the gear shift lever, it disconnected the clutch, and then you could switch gears. And now, most of the Beetles I had, you could shift gears even without the battery being connected, but on that particular Beetle, you had to have a battery connected at all times, otherwise it wouldn't shift. It'd be stuck in one gear. And, I drove one all the way back from Arkansas when I left the service, and it made the trip all right, but when I started getting into those mountains, I had to speed it up a little bit because otherwise it was going to slow down by the time I got near the top.
Well, the only one we ever had was we had a 74 Super Beetle. And I remember that one, it had a stick on the floor, and you had to let off the gas to shift it. That's all you did. You just let off the gas and shifted it into the next gear. So everything, but it didn't have a clutch, which I thought was kind of interesting. I don't know what that was all about. I was a little young. I wouldn't be driving for another couple of years. But I do remember that was kind of like a clutchless shift. But what you're describing is a little different. You're saying there was a clutch, but it's electric, obviously. You push down and activate it. So interesting. Guy I work with, another, speaking of the Air Force, I got two Air Force guys that work for me, and one of them is, he brought a right-hand drive Beetle back from England with him when he was stationed over there. Still got it. Can't remember what year it is. It's older.
Yeah, but I ate Whiskey Hotel. Yeah, it was kind of unique, and I like the fact that you didn't have to clutch it, but, you know, hang on a second, I'll get back with you in a minute. Alpha 8, Whiskey Hotel.
All righty, WAFU.
Telemarketers. Alpha 8, Whiskey Hotel. Yeah, I like the fact that you could take once the motor was running, you could actually take the battery out and the car would stay running. I know that there were some people who got, who actually made home-built aircraft, and they used the almost a stock Volkswagen engine. All they had to do was replace the heads to put dual spark plugs in it, and they ran with a dual magneto on it. So in case one magneto failed, it would was still around the other one. And, you know, it's a reliable engine. I mean, those engines would run forever.
Dude as hell. I could do that if the right one popped up.
Like I said, they used to have Volkswagen converter kits that basically had the two sets of heads on it, and all you had to do was take the old one off and put the new one on. I mean, think about it. Those engines, all you had to do was keep them filled with oil and ran it on gasoline and stuff, and, I mean, they'll run forever. I mean, I've seen cars that were literally, the body was rusted out, but the engine was still brand new. In fact, I had a guy who bought one of my Beetles and turned it into a dune buggy.
Now, what's your current one? Is it a newer or is it a an older vintage? What do you got now?
Yeah, right now I own a Jeep. I've always wanted one, and I had a Jeep. What the heck was that? I can't think of the name of it at the moment. But it was a. Right now I've got a Jeep Renegade. I got from my previous Jeep. I had a patch of black ice, and it literally I couldn't turn, and I wound up slamming back into somebody's pickup truck. But I got another Jeep. Actually, this is an almost brand new one. It's a 23 or 21, and it's a Jeep Renegade, and it's got four-wheel drive, and it's got the thing you can get it set up for driving on sand or snow or even all kinds of different roads. I found out later it was actually made in Europe.
Yeah, that's one thing you can't really tell anymore is where something's from. It's like they're building them all over everywhere. American cars you think are pure American, made in other countries, and cars that are foreign, made right here. You know, it's so hard to tell. I'm still kind of a big three Harley guy, you know. I know it's irrational in many ways, but old habits, right?
I used to own a Bridgestone 175. Back when I needed something to get me around base other than my 2 feet. I think I should have just got me a bike until I could afford it. But eventually, what was weird was my folks actually brought me down my first Volkswagen from here in Michigan. I was stationed out in Arkansas at the time. They drove it down and they flew back.
So what did you do in the Air Force? Did you do anything radio related?
Alpha Alpha 8 with Delta ID. Well, not really. For a thing called Printer Systems and Work Center stuff, it required a top secret clearance. And I found out that after I went into the Air Force, the FBI came around and visited my family and schoolmates and teachers and anybody who knew me to see if I was a security risk. And the weirdest thing was I actually tried to find out whether I had it after about 8 months. So I went over to the Air Police, and he told me to go see the OSI. So I went over to see him, and they told me, well, I can't see if you have it. I can't see if you don't have it. So I guess it means I did have it, but they didn't want to tell me for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that FBI vetting is intense, to say the least. I remember one time somebody just popped in on me. I was at a fire station, and they started kind of grilling me about one of the guys that worked there. I didn't realize that he had applied for something that required their, you know, maybe it was an agent or something. I don't even know. But, I'm like, hey, I don't work here. I go, I'm just here working on the radio equipment. So, I've heard stories of you get a tap on the shoulder when you're in a grocery store shopping at the checkout, and they'll turn around and say, you know, they'll say, I'd like to talk to you about somebody you grew up with. It's like, wow.
Well, like I said, I did have a secret clearance, so I needed that to get access to the flight line. And sometimes I'd have to go out to the aircraft and they'd have an oil pump or a fuel pump or something that needed to be replaced, and so they'd give it to me, and I'd stick it in a container, and it would they'd take it back, and a couple of days later we'd bring them a new pump for the plane, and it was interesting. I liked it. One time we had to go through an inspection by the inspector general, and we had about 2 months time to get ready for it, and the weekend before we did a complete GI of the place, and we went from floor to ceilings and went up in the rafters and dusted them off, and made sure all of our paperwork was caught up and stuff. There we go. Alpha 8 with the hotel Friday.
Is it Bill or William? Which one do you prefer? W8SU, I'm back. Sorry.
On W8SU, Alpha 8 with the hotel. Actually, I usually go by Bill, but I go by William too. And it was funny about that inspection because, like I said, we had 2 months to get ready for him, and so the next day after we passed, our sergeants were back there smoking big cigars and patting themselves on the back for the job that we mostly did. And so I was out there watching the planes take off and land, and all of a sudden I was thinking out loud, and I said, this guy knows we have 2 months to get ready for him, so if I was him, I'd let him get back into a regular work day and come back and pull a surprise inspection on him and see if they still got their stuff together. And at the same time I said that, up comes a limo with the flags on the front, and he figures, uh-oh, here comes, so I had to go back and tell our squadron commander that we were getting hit with a surprise inspection.
Yeah, I got two of my guys right here. They were, I don't know what you call it in the Air Force. I just say MOS, but that's Navy, Marines. Whatever the MOS, whatever you call that in Air Force, they were both avionics. They told me stories like that. George in particular was telling me, they'd have to take care of a piece of electronics or something like that on one of the planes, and you couldn't account for one thing, a socket, anything. He said, oh boy. So he told some stories. W8FU.
The one thing I liked about the Air Force, though, is that most of the jobs were 9-to-5. You went there, you did your job, and when you were finished, you went home. I mean, most of us were not on, like, 24 hours like they are in the Marines or the Army. So at most of the stateside bases, we didn't have to worry too much about that.
Okay, I don't know if I lost the repeater or something or what, but anyhow, I'm just about pulling up to the driveway here. I'm going to get parked and get inside. So thanks for driving with me today, and I don't know if we've spoke before, but we'll speak again, I'm sure. W8FU, after yours.
W8FU, Alpha 8, Whiskey Hotel. Nice talking to you. Yeah, maybe, I don't see why not. I'm still getting used to this DMR stuff. It's an interesting system, and I'm still getting used to it, but it gets interesting when the severe weather starts coming in here because they start using up a couple of the talk groups on this system, so. Anyway, have a good afternoon, and we'll talk to you later from Alpha 8 with the hotel.
KCA, KJL. KCA, KJL, monitoring.
Hey, Bill.
How's the weather over there? Here, it's a little sprinkled, but it's humid.
Yeah, it's starting to get rain here. Was watching the stuff over in Wisconsin earlier. That was quite a little story I knew there.
That was in St. Joseph when it started rolling in and got out of town just in time before the major stuff hit.
Yep. Yeah, it was my ex-wife from where the tornado, suspected tornado and whatnot went through, and
clear some stuff up. It's a good thing that Oshkosh air vent ended yesterday.
Where was it going to be last down or over there now by St. Joseph's? Like I said, I heard something about between exits 12 and 33, and now it's 5 miles north or 5 miles east of that.
Yeah, it looks like most of it mellowed out by the time across the lake.
Oh, and Oshkosh, that got hit by the tornado. I bet you meant St. Joseph's.
That was over in Appleton in Oshkosh.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, we were sitting, I looked at it, and there was a big line coming in, and I watched the radar was going south-southeast, so never made it to this side of the state, or on the east side.
Yeah, it looks like it kind of milled out. I think it, my house, I think it just missed me. Checking my ring gauge and I didn't have anything on it, so I think I'm probably high and dry up in front of my house.
Yeah, coming up on M13 in Atlanta here on 69, and I got little drops here and there, but the road's basically dry.
Yeah, that's about what I got here in Oliver Hills. It's just a little light rain.
Yeah. I'm at the Durand exit, so too far from Lincoln. About 3 miles before I get construction and it's just sprinkles here and there. It's nothing. We can count four girls.
You're pretty broken up there.
How about now? I 7 miles from Schwartz Creek.
Yeah, that might have been me then. Came towards the north end of Auburn Hills, and you could have been good in the Fenton or Flint.
Yeah, I got some wind, but, I mean, it's not like, you know, trees are falling here and there, but, you know how that goes. And it's just basically just rain. Not a lot, just little.
Yeah, my lawn will take whatever it can get. It's, like the color of straw right now in some spots. In the high spots and low spots, it's still wet.
Yeah, but don't imagine danger. I mean, I just see rain coming down from, out of the windshield. That's about it, It's like a nice little rain shower.
Yeah. Hey, Eli.
Sorry, I got another sticky zone there.
Yeah, I'm in the transition zone, so could be losing repeaters.
Oh, you're not in the alley, I guess you can say. I'm just getting into the construction zone here by the golf course.
Yeah, they got something going on in 69 there. They got lane closed or whatnot, but I never go that way.
Yeah. How long have you been
here? About now?
Oh, you're back. Hey, Joe.
A little bit.
Yeah, you're falling out of the weeds there.
Yeah, I'll say again. Yes, I know.
I'm trying to put a little process right there.
Hopefully I should be good on my end if I'm over that hill. But that was still broken up.
How about now?
No, that was perfect.
Okay, good. That's right lane closed. Now I'm coming into your neck of the town over by Moorish Road. Yep, Moorish. Got the construction again. More bridge work.
Yeah, that's sort of the road I live on. It's interesting. One of those MNOT vans entering the highway. And the siren ties into their cruising. It like, flashes that side of siren when they had the cruising on.
Okay, say that one more time. I heard something in the middle of the freeway. or the trees.
A vandal is entering the freeway.
Oh, that's different. Oh, Miller Road is closed. I didn't like that. Oh, yeah, the Miller Road bridge is all torn up on one end, and the ramp is all ripped up. It's, well, some of it is, but it's dirt. That's interesting.
Yeah, I never go that way. I'm always going north, or I do go west. I take the M13 down, so I'm kind of bypass all that construction. I go on the other side. I don't enter until I'm on the other side of it.
I'm thinking you go over to Bristol Road and go down that way, or make your way down that way.
Yeah, there's a 75 North torn up, and I don't know what they're doing there. Out west.
Yeah, if I'm over in Flint, I go up M13 and get right downtown. Saginaw.
So you're trying to get downtown, or just talking about going downtown?
No, instead of going all the way to 75, if I'm coming from, like, Lansing and stuff, I'll take 69 to M13 and M13 right into downtown Saginaw. It's a pretty decent drive. It's pretty.
Oh, yeah, you get to see all the solar farms over in Shiawassee over there. yeah, that's, I don't know, when I go over to Holland, though, you take Mount Morris over to 13, then take 13 down to 69.
Yeah, it all depends on which way I'm coming from. If I'm coming from, you know, from Memphis, I'll take 470, 75 to 46. Take that right into, you know, on Holland Road, right into downtown.
Yeah, that's right in my neck of the woods. We're 475 and 75 meet back up there.
You're on the south end, though, aren't you?
I'm on the north end. My street is right off of Mount Morris to the south and Francis to the north.
Oh, I thought you were over in Schwartz Creek. I forgot that you were up the other end there.
Well, my address is off of Morris, but that road doesn't go all the way through. It stops at the river and then picks up a couple miles north.
So far, I'm sitting at 375 miles. For the work day, and I got another 57. So what's that, 425, 430 miles I've driven today? I'll be driving today. Can't get that out of my mouth fast enough.
That's 325 more than I drove.
Yeah, I got 49,818 miles on this thing, so I'll be pushing over 50,000 by the end of the week.
Yeah, I'm just over 10,000 on this guy. Yeah, I had it in the shop for a month for them to fix the check engine light and then I fixed the tire hop and not the check engine light, so it came back on Friday, so it's going back in.
Yeah, Wally's little Ford blew the turbo, which just blew the motor, and he's got that fixed, I think, this week. I got to replace the motor and the turbo.
Oh, boy, yeah. How does that, you come to the turbo end up in the engine, or, you pull like an oil line and run out on road without any oil?
Good question. I never asked them. I know that the motor's blown and the turbo's blown. One caused the other. So, yeah, this oil line could probably blew the turbo and seize the engine. But it's all under warranty.
Yeah, that's a that's a good one. Did it get done under warranty? You have a brand new car?
My daughter's picking up a Ford Fusion tomorrow. Used to be a fleet vehicle. And It's got under 20,000 miles on it. The 2019 hybrid. And she picked that up tomorrow. She got it for under 10 grand, so she's pretty happy.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's got good battery and still.
Well, I guess they ran it out of gas and ran the battery down and put it into the protection mode. And they sent it to auction for no start, no run. And her mechanic got it all reset, runs like a champ, and he just put new brakes and motors on it, so it's all set, ready to go. She picks it up tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the way to do it when you can get the easy fixes on the inoperables.
Well, yeah, but getting a 2019 fully loaded Fusion hybrid with less than 20,000 miles on it, she got it for a good price. I mean, her F-150 had 103,000 miles on it, fully loaded with a Lariat, 2018, and she paid 30 for that. Turnaround sold that just a few weeks ago for $2,000 more than what she's left out on it. She put a big chunk of money down, so she got money on that. Now she just used that to put down on the car. She's got a car payment that's like a third of what the other one was.
Yeah, it's a lot better in gas mileage too.
Oh, absolutely. She had another one, but the payments after it were, like, really expensive, so she just said, I'm not spending too much. So she turned it back into the dealership and had to pay a $1,200 restock fee. She turned around and sold it that day for a little bit under what he paid for it at auction, or she paid for it at auction. So that worked out, and they turned around and found this Fusion. And he bid on it for it, got it for a really good price. So she's getting that. But she had the ERX 50 or something like that, a Mazda, and that was fully loaded, and that was a hybrid, low mileage. But the monthly payments were like $150 more than the other one.
Yeah, those payments will get a bad rate or whatever. We're get a pretty good thing in our work, really. I generally keep it down pretty low, but I hear the prices for this year are jacked them way up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even for my Explorer, I paid $7 for that. They said it's only worth $5, but I got the gap insurance on it. I don't care. And my payments are like $150 a month for 4 years, 5 years. So I really lucked out there. But it's a little bit less than what I paid for my Escalade.
Yeah, I've seen some of the loans that they're giving out there that are just like pretty much predatory, where they got a crazy rate with, like a 30% rate with a 5-7 year loan, and somebody rolls into the what they owed on their previous car too, and so they're paying like $1,000 a month on it for a car for a hunk of junk car.
Well, yeah, no doubt. When I got my Escalade, my APR was like 4. And I was just dealing with the credit units. When I got the Explorer, I think I'm paying right around the same amount, and it's only like $165, for the loans. So I got a really good, and my daughter got a good rate on hers. I think hers is probably only like $180.
Yeah, that's not too bad. that paid off and you won't have it at all?
Oh, yeah, I paid off my Escalade, like, you know, last year sometime, and but it wasn't worth a lot when I sold it. I mean, because the gas lines were bad, the driver's side front TV shaft was bad, and she had issues. So I sold her to my neighbor's brother-in-law. I mean, I put it up for $25. He says, I'll give you $12, and I'll take it right now. I'm like, okay. So, no way, I made $15 off it. That's right. I mean, the KBV on it was only like $3,000 at that. Traded value wasn't worth nothing. So, been in the middle, and I was a happy camper.
Yeah, that sounds like a... So what you worked out there then?
Oh, yeah, I put the money towards a new exhaust. I mean, the resonator was roughing off it, no big deal. Went to the muffler shop and, so how much to cut it off and just do straight from the flex pipes back to the mufflers? They gave me a price that might do it. Since you don't have the resonator, I don't need it, I don't care. So I got all new steel exhaust from the flex pipe, you know, from the catalytics, the dual catalytics, all the way back to the little exhaust, that, you know, back to the little mufflers. She's still quiet. And then I got put new brakes, new rotors on it. That was $5 bills. And, you know, the registration, the custom license plate. You know, so I didn't spend that much with it. I'm still going to do the inner tie rock, which has got a little bit of a drift to her, but that's not going to hurt it at all. Oh, I got new tires on it, too. So, get a little bit of work on it. Nothing major.
That was on the Interceptor?
Yeah. My wife got it licensed for me because I was working, so she's got a custom license plate for it. You know, black and white with my call sign. Kind of neat.
Yeah, I'd like to get a hand call plate, but I don't have a car to put it on. A company car, I can't put it on that.
Well, I didn't get the amateur radio plate because when it was a little bit more money to it, it would look funny on the car, so she did the black background with the white lettering, and it matches the car because the car is black and white. So, got that. I got my Grinch plate on the front.
Yeah, that's what Sean tried to do, but they wouldn't let him do it because he didn't pass the filters. But you know, I think even mine, I might have issues getting it as a regular plate because people named Abby probably want it.
I just lucked out, you know. Well, I know Sean had to get the amateur plate because of his call sign.
Yeah, I know with his old call sign, he preferred having a regular plate with his call on it, regular vanity.
Yeah, they didn't like that. All right, I'll be right back. I got to make a phone call to my coworkers. I see if he's going to stop off at the rest area that they usually hit, you know, for the walk. You know, got to get the steps in. I'll be right back. KCKJ. All righty,
keep you on. Hey, Bjorn.
Hey, CKGL.